Hi, it's Hannah Berner.
And Des Bishop.
Thanks for calling the Berner phone.
If you leave a message after the tone,
we may have to make it into a podcast.
Oh my gosh, hi my little dialers.
Oh wow.
It's the new year. No, it's not the new year.
Happy New Year.
It's the last episode of 2023.
Yes, but it's definitely our New Year's episode.
It's our New Year's episode because we love a theme.
Yeah, I mean, every episode has a theme.
It's one thing we do that's consistent. It's give you guys a theme and we stick to it.
I mean, I would go so far as to say this is a themed podcast.
I think I'm a themed girly.
Yeah.
We're in our theme era.
Yeah.
I do have to say, just to reflect a little on the last year, I was thinking about the little dialers this morning, as I do often.
Yes, you're so concerned.
I realized that there's such a unique group of people in my life because they're a combination of former Burning in Hell listeners.
Correct.
The Little Devils, who have been in my life for a long time now, somehow are still not sick of me, which is a miracle on 34th Street. And then we have gigglers,
yes,
who have crossed over.
They've come over.
And you know, so some overlap. And then we have new people that have just discovered Burner Phone, and they're just OG little dialers.
Yeah.
And
people that came from maybe your appearance on Chelsea Handler, perhaps.
Possibly.
Welcome.
People who used to listen to the Des Bishop podcast.
Welcome to the newbies.
People who just found us on the algorithm.
Yeah. Just, you know, we're up there and number three in stand-up podcasts. They just took a punt.
You know, Burning in Hell, I'd been doing it for so long, and I got to this point when I'm on this, you know, crazy road schedule with stand-up, which I'm very grateful for, where I was like, I can't get all these interviews together to keep up Burning in Hell the way I want to. And in that moment, we had a choice. I could have stopped Burning in Hell. I could have just done it kind of virtually half-assed. And the fact that we decided to do this and actually executed it and made it happen, I'm very happy that we did this.
Yeah, so we'd like to say that this podcast has been brought to you by laziness.
No.
We just got sick of the admin, so we decided to do something together because we're together.
Well, I was getting to a point where I had to make a decision, and then I looked up in my own house, and I realized there was a stand-up comedian there.
Sitting there.
With, you know, idle time to talk shit with me.
Correct.
Who I actually like to talk to, so...
But we were like, wait a minute. All we do all day is talk. We need somebody to help us find something to talk about. Call on the little dialers.
The little dialers. So this year is the year of the little dialer. You guys are all awesome.
And your contributions are we're very grateful for them. It doesn't go unnoticed, the effort that you guys put in, so we really appreciate it.
For sure. Every week, we piddle ourselves, excited to see what kind of creative things you guys are putting on call.
And if you had asked me at the beginning of this Burner Phone journey, what level of contributions from the dialers would you get, I would have said, I'd probably say it'll be like a 5 or a 6, because at the end of the day, it's not an easy task to just call on your phone and think of something interesting to say.
Mm-hmm.
But it's definitely been 9/10.
Yeah.
I mean,
and you guys are busy. You're probably at work in the bathroom. You're driving your kids to school. You know, you're in a fight with your significant other and you're like, hold on, I have to submit something to Burner Phone.
Yeah.
So you guys are taking times out of your day to make this podcast what it is.
Yeah, and you're sharing your secrets, not always asking to disguise your voice. I mean, some people here are taking real risks. You know what I mean?
Putting it on the line for content, and that's what we're all about.
Yeah. I mean, we appreciate the contribution, and we hope that we can then convert that contribution into real entertainment and insight.
Yeah, but also... your sense of humor, all of your guys' sense of humor is just top tier. And, you know, I'm biased, but I'm like, wow, the people listening to our pod are pretty fucking funny.
So here's to 2024 and your continuing contributions. And I feel like as we come to the end of the year, we have really figured it out, you know? I mean, at the end of the day, it was a new enterprise.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like we've got a good momentum now.
We've hit our stride.
And can we also say thanks to Chris, our producer, who's sitting here with us today.
Love being with you guys. Thank you for having me.
Who do you like more, us or Giggly Squad?
Oh, that's...
I mean, Giggly Squad's
you have to say like Giggly Squad.
That's fucked up, yeah.
Yeah, but
you
Chris...
You guys, in your own time.
Chris, I will say that I've had numerous friends of mine that listen to the podcast and have all said that the episodes where you're around are the better episodes, so we appreciate that.
Thank you.
Also thankful for Chris. Why am I turning this into a Thanksgiving episode?
It's beginning to look a lot
like
Christmas.
Producer.
Thank you, Chris. So, today is the New Year's resolution episode.
And at first I was like, is it corny? Is it corny on the cob for us to do a New Year's resolution episode? Abso-fucking-lutely not. Because I like talking about New Year's resolutions because I think they're hilarious.
Right.
Because I like that time is made up. Time is a construction. And people are like, tomorrow I'm going to be a different person. I think it's good. Everyone's posting like this next year, like out, like, you know, rotting in bed and like watching toxic TV. And Anne is like, yoga. Let's be honest, you're not going to fucking change tomorrow. Yeah. And once you can accept that, that's where real growth comes. One thing I've learned, because I do love change, but I learned that if you try to change drastically in one day, you're setting yourself up for failure. Mm. So it's more about the little tiny things that you do. If you change 1% a day after 3 months, if you do the girl math, that's 30%.
Yeah, and that would be a decent haul over a year.
Yes.
Now, I gave up alcohol at the age of 19, so I feel like I have this universal resolution every year.
To not drink.
Well, yeah, just like that's like a biggie.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know if you need to make another resolution after that, but
yeah, it's kind of going overboard if you're like, I'm going to do something else also.
But this year, 100%, I'm going to focus on my hip mobility. That's my resolution for 2024, man. You know, to just keep doing all these new exercises that keep popping up on my Instagram.
Dez has not agreed to do hip hop yoga with me yet. I feel like our relationship would get even stronger if we did it together, but I feel like you don't support women in the arts.
No, I mean, it's fine. You like hip-hop yoga is your thing. I continue to go to the gym and do my hip strengthening exercises and fire up my glutes, engage my core, you know?
I like that you brought up sobriety, though, because people are very into Dry January. And going back to what I was saying about how it's hard to do drastic things, people are saying it's now easier to do just like kind of Dry January. Like if you try to do dry January, why is that so hard to say? Dry January, and you mess up like 4 days in, you're more likely to be like, fuck it, I'm not doing it. But if you say, I'm doing loosely Dry January, and you have a couple, you know, and it's not even a slip up, it's not a mistake, but like, you know, I have a cocktail here, whatever, but overall in the month, you go drier, like that's a win is a win.
Yeah, it's a moderation.
It's moderation.
Moderation is key. Well, you could just live your whole life that way.
Yeah.
That would make it even better.
I like haven't been drinking at all. And
I honestly, I get a kick out of these Dry Januaries. People are like, it's been 2 weeks. I'm like, wow. Oh my God. The sacrifice that you're making.
Babe, you can't judge other people's journeys.
I understand, but they really do exaggerate it. You know?
Yeah. Well, I think after like Christmas, some people, you know, they're dealing with family and the holidays, like, and they're just, you know, they're blackout for most of it. And I get it.
Can I just say that the dialers, they must be big drinkers because, I mean, we had, what, 100 resolutions that came through on the Telby? Not one person said, no alcohol. I mean, I'm not joking. I'm only realizing it now.
Wait,
not
funny.
One no alcohol on the Telby.
Really?
They're all drinking.
They're all
because
just
fucking. They need drinking for all the dealing with all the resolutions they're talking about. Because some of them, as always, are heavy and dirty.
I hope that one of the New Year's resolutions is for their mom to go to therapy.
Oh, yeah. So will we crack into it?
Hello. My New Year's resolution is to get the guy that I'm seeing to take me out in public. We've been hanging out for like 6 months, and every time we get together, we do the same thing. I go to his house, we have sex,
exhausted.
We eat food, we chat for a bit, and then I go home and rinse, repeat. I've tried asking him to go out for dinner or drinks with friends a couple of times, and each time he is either working or has some reason that he's busy. And I've kind of given up. I don't really know what to do, and I'm a bit of a shy bitch, so I'll just have to try and figure that out in 2024.
What's funny is I feel like when your relationship inevitably is going really well, it turns into that where you're just like, let's stay home, let's eat, let's have sex, let's talk. But I do think, how do I say this? I think he has a second family.
I was literally like, he's cheating on his girlfriend. He's hiding you. You're the woman in the attic.
Oh my God, I'm over him.
Yeah, I mean,
I'm over him I'm just over him. I'm over if you feel like you have to convince someone of anything, like, and maybe this happens as you get in your like 30s, 40s, you get older, you don't have the effort to put in to convince people things. It's hard though, because she's probably having a good time, like when you're with him, but then something just feels a little off always, and you deserve to have someone that wants to show you off.
Yeah, I mean, I just think if somebody is like hiding you, then that's never a good sign. You know? Like, why would he not want to like be in public with you? That's never healthy.
Honestly, being in public with someone is like hot. Like, especially when you spend a lot of time with them alone, then when you're in public with them, it's like you get to see a new side of them. You see them through other people's eyes. You see how they interact with people. And that is important. Like, if you spend too much time with a guy alone, you actually don't fully grasp who he is with his friends, who he is, and who his friends are. I'm judging that.
Yeah, there's just more to life than just being, I mean, we all love that. We all love being in bed and Netflix and chilling, but there has to be more than that.
Yeah, so I'm kind of over him. I'm over him.
Yeah, I think the resolution is that you just need to take action on what you already know yourself.
Yeah, and ask him who he's married to.
Yeah, and like, what part of his life is, I honestly, if you have the means, I would suggest hiring a private investigator. You know, you need to find out what's going on with this guy.
Or just like take selfies in bed and keep posting them on your
Maybe he has severe.
Does anyone know this man? Actually, there is a Facebook group saying about where girls post photos of men being like, is anyone with him? Have you heard of that?
Yeah.
What's it called?
I'm sure.
You've been in it? Chris!
A girl told me about it.
That someone posted you?
No, I think she was like, "Oh, there's this group. How do you feel about that?"
There's a group New York City thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, girls post a guy and be like, "Is anyone else talking to him?"
Oh, wow.
There's like at least like 20,000 girls in that.
Wow, cuz I feel like that came out of that. Remember that big scandal about the guy that kind of just
Oh, yeah.
What was that again? The guy turned out loads
Will
of,
or something.
Yeah, he'd been with a load of women.
The Tinder swindler? Is that?
No, not the Tinder swindler. This was like
too.
A viral. This was like a.
This was
this
just
wasn't
on
like
TikTok.
A Netflix thing. Yeah, it was
just
a TikTok.
Like, I'm with this guy, Will, and someone's like, I'm with Will. And I was like, watch out for Will.
Yeah, like 20. And then Will was like demonized.
Yeah.
And now he's gone. Whoever, I can't even remember his name.
He now lives in the Cayman Islands with Armie Hammer.
Yeah.
But he basically was like just dating hundreds of women, and everyone had like a weird story.
Yeah, and they all had like the same story.
The thing with New York is you can go on multiple dates a night. I mean, what we do with stand-up, people can do with dating. I could have multiple spots a night, do my thing, and it's a numbers game dating. So part of me is like, I don't judge, but this is a different situation.
Yeah, this guy, you need the guy that this girl is talking about, she needs to get his picture up. I guarantee you she's not the only one going back to his bedroom. That's why he can't go out in public.
Yeah.
You know,
it's like occasionally you'll see those performances or like Knicks games where it cuts to a random couple and the guy suddenly pretends he's not like sitting next to the girl he's with and the girl looks confused. And it's very funny. But I mean, it is. I've actually been a little fascinated with mistresses lately because I learned that mistress mansions are a thing.
Yes.
Like Vanessa Hudgens lives in some famous person's mistress mansion. And I'm fascinated. Some mistresses are living the life. Like, they don't have to have kids. They just have their own mansion. They wait for the guy to come around. And then meanwhile, they just, like, fuck around in the pool, get their nails did.
Yeah, I mean, I guess some people would say it's an empty life. But if all you're looking for is the luxuries of life and a sort of an intermittent intimacy with a wealthy man who has another family, then I guess it's not a bad life.
Mm-hmm.
In China, they call the mistress woman the xiaosir, the small third.
Oh my God, it has a name?
Yeah,
Small third, that's very funny.
Well, that's the translation, but yeah, xiaosir.
Yeah.
That's a Beijing accent, but that's the way that I learned it.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's like more of a there's more cultural awareness about the small third in China than there would be about the mistress here.
Yeah.
It's very common.
We don't know much about this girl and what she's looking for, but if you're having fun, fine. But if you were looking to like date this guy, there needs to be changes. There needs to be some honest conversations, or you need to like ignore him and start dating and see if there's a change in behavior.
Yeah, I mean, if it turns out he has ferocious anxiety, then at least then you can acknowledge that and
get closer and get
him to get help.
But like, what's his anxiety? Walking around with a hot girl?
Or just being out in general.
Oh, being outside.
Yeah.
That's actually such a good, if you're trying to hide your cheating, you're just like, I have agoraphobia.
Yeah.
I can't go outside.
Chris, we'll take another one
I'm
from the collection.
I'm afraid of taking photos.
My New Year's resolution is to stop scrolling on TikTok. I can literally spend hours on there just scrolling. I feel like it's not bad, but it's also not great. Maybe I should go outside more, read a book. Probably will not read a book, but maybe go on more walks.
Yeah. Oh my God, I feel this girl so much because during the holidays, you really get this time where you're just, you don't have to be anywhere or do anything. And I start scrolling my phone. The holiday content to me too is like, it's either people like showing off how much they love their family or all the gifts they got, or people just kind of like hating on it. I don't love the holiday content. I think it's kind of hack.
What would I look like in the 70s?
Yeah.
I'm getting that a lot.
And I've been scrolling TikTok and if you scroll long enough on your phone, you eventually see something that pisses you off, makes you feel a weird energy. The next thing you know, you're sitting in your own home feeling a type of way when you didn't do anything. You didn't ask for anything. And then, honestly, like, TikTok has too much shop right now. And you know TikTok's my favorite thing ever. You agree, Chris?
Yes, for sure.
Because my content is popping on TikTok. Follow my TikTok. I love TikTok. But the scrolling on TikTok has not been the same experience recently.
Well, here's the reality. You're a victim. When you're on TikTok, you are a victim of a huge effort to keep you scrolling.
Mm-hmm.
So the key is to not be on it if you're looking to take a break. I'm not saying being on TikTok's a problem, but if you don't want to scroll, you cannot start looking at TikTok because it's designed to keep you there once you start looking.
What I've been doing, and I wish I could pull up my Google searches, but I like to go into like really random wormholes. I like those BuzzFeed articles, like actors who had a role and then
disappeared,
or actors that said no to certain roles. So I like reading that kind of stuff.
Yes.
I also, someone who would like to read books but doesn't, does it count when you're watching a movie with captions as reading a book?
I don't believe that's considered reading.
Because I did the girl math and I was like, I think I read 3 novels yesterday.
But I think listening to an audiobook is considered, reading a book.
We're very cultured, you know, and we watched a Scando-noir.
We watched a Scandinavian black mystery called The Bridge, or Bruin.
And it's all in Swedish and Danish.
Yes.
And we can't tell the difference between the two of them, but they're speaking it. And if you look down for a second, you miss what happened.
But this is the thing about subtitles. You can't eat. You can't eat while you're watching. You got to stay focused.
Can't scroll. But I do think... Do not have FOMO from not scrolling. And when you are on your phone, try to be diligent with like why. Because I'm fully addicted to like, if I'm not doing anything, the phone's coming out and I'm rotating the same 10 apps over and over again.
10? I'm rotating 3, basically.
I'll tell you guys the apps that I'm rotating. And this isn't good.
I mean, I'm just rotating Facebook, Instagram, and TikTok. That's what I'm rotating. Oh, and I have the odd check on WhatsApp.
Instagram.
For my Euro friends.
YouTube.
Oh, YouTube. Yeah, I very rarely go on YouTube.
TikTok. I'm not really watching YouTube. I'm just like checking my YouTube, checking my Facebook sometimes. Not Facebook feed.
I'm checking my Facebook. Come on. That's where my people are. Shout out to the Gen Xers, man.
Checking my email.
Holding Facebook down.
Represent, babe. Email is wild lately. Like,
oh, yeah,
I have
okay.
So Email's many
an
emails.
App. All right, I'm checking my email.
My texts. Sometimes just looking at my screenshots.
I guess you consider that an app. You know, I don't consider the legacy things to be apps, but I guess they are.
I'm in Uber Eats more often than I should be.
Scrolling
Uber
Definitely
Eats.
Checking Uber Eats.
We're very into New York Times games right now.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
Actually, this is the thing. Let's be honest. You're still going to be on your phone. Let's replace it. I would like to replace TikTok with playing New York Times word games so that I become smarter.
And hey, New York Times, what's so bad about putting in a Wordle history? Like, why can't I play a Wordle from 2 weeks ago? Why?
Shots fired. Shots fired.
New York Times. You know, I know you get a lot of crap from the hard right, but here's something coming from a game player. All right? Why can't we check last week's Wordle? Why can't I play last week's Wordle?
We want an archive of Wordle?
Yeah.
If you care about America.
And I know that there's other places that are doing Wordle archives, but why can't you do it? It doesn't make any sense to me. You can archive the crossword.
Yeah.
You can archive the crossword. Why is there a crossword bias in the New York Times?
Yeah. And we've also discovered a game yesterday.
By the way, this is what happens for the people that are going to stop scrolling. This is what happens.
Yeah,
you're going to become a nerd like us.
It's called Wordle. Letterboxd in New York Times game. We highly recommend.
Yeah, Letterboxd is a fun game. You got to try to connect all the letters. Anyway, you'll have to look it up. This is already way too boring. This is really like, sometimes people are like, Hannah and Dez couple goals, but I can tell you right now, that's going to diminish. Hannah and Dez playing word games all day, represent.
Oh my God.
Can we move on to the next thing?
Hey, Hannah and Dez, love the pod. My New Year's resolution is to experience an orgasm for the first time.
Yes.
For reference, I'm 30 years old and I have never had an orgasm given to me by a partner. I didn't even know they were a thing until I turned 26 and a girlfriend bought me a vibrator. And ever since then, I've been approaching the topic with my sexual partners and it has really been met with disinterest and sometimes animosity. These men are internalizing me, asking them to give me an orgasm and turning it into something that they feel inadequate to do, so they don't even try. I love sex. I love giving in sex. And for some reason, I haven't really met anybody who is willing to take the time to try to make sexual experiences enjoyable for me as well. So in 2024, I would love to meet a man who would like to take the time to give me an orgasm.
Chris?
Bye.
I got you. I am a notorious giver.
Ew!
What do you mean, ew? What do you mean, ew?
You set me up. You set me up.
Excuse me.
I'm going to think this way.
You can't fucking ew him. This woman literally just said that, you know, men take it personally. And then he comes forward and says, I'm a giver. And you're like, ew.
Because Chris is my child.
No, Hannah.
Chris is my child. Also, the two of you, if you two turn on me one more time, I'm firing you both.
That's the first time it ever happened.
That's the first time. And you guys are stepping over a line.
A
I'll fire you fucking both right now.
Can't be. In a sex-positive section of the New Year's resolution, you can't then shame
got
Chris.
Got somebody to come take us away right now.
Yeah, here it comes. Here comes the sex-positivity police. We're in the East Village. It's a very sex-positive area. They respond quickly around here.
Did two men speak over a woman? Get him out here. So
yeah, that shit might fly on Giggly Squad, but you're outnumbered here. You're outnumbered here.
You guys fun?
No,
you
but he's
moment?
A giver. Come on, man. He's a giver. That's a positive.
I find it surprising and fucked up because I feel like guys love a challenge. Like, you should lie to men and be like, you know, no man's ever been able to give me an orgasm. Watch him try. Who are these men that, like, think that she's, like, it's impossible?
Well, you know, on a serious note, just because this came up a lot when we were doing the shift, a lot of men get uncomfortable with this sense of sexual failure. So when put in a situation where they're almost like, if she doesn't come, it's perceived as failure, they kind of go into themselves, especially when they're dealing with their own sort of inadequacies about themselves. Mm-hmm.
Also, I think orgasm, your relationship to your orgasm is the same as your relationship with your life. If you try to force it, nothing happens.
Yeah.
Because it is so mental on both partners' ends. And also you, if you're result-oriented in anything in life, if you're like, to bring up tennis, when I would go in being like, I need to win this match, I couldn't win because I was so focused on the result, I was skipping all the things that had to happen in order to win. And you get kind of blinded by the anxiety of, if I don't win, this is a failure. So it's very like, it's a very mental thing. You have to be comfortable. And if two people are like, is she going to come yet? Is she going to come yet? No one's going to come. No one's going to come with that kind of pressure.
Yes.
It's going to be when you like least expect it and forgot that you were trying to come. It's almost going into it being like, hey, I'm not going to come. Let's have a good time and see what happens. But also these dudes, I'm over them.
She's been very unlucky, I have to say.
She has been unlucky.
She's been unlucky with the guys that she's been with. I feel like if you could find a guy that's very sexually comfortable, I would suggest saying to them, would you be okay with me making myself, like, can we come together?
Yeah.
But I can't, you won't be able to do it to me at the beginning. So can I use my vibrator and we can come together? At least then she'll get comfortable having an orgasm around somebody.
Babe, I love that. I love the idea of first she does it herself with him, like with her, like by her, supporting her.
Yeah.
And then next thing you know, you mend it.
Yeah, and first of all, that odds on will be a turn on for him if he's comfortable. I mean, when we did Horrible Decisions, there was a lot of messages because we talked about the fact that we're comfortable, like, you know, masturbating around each other, or like you looking after yourself. And there was a lot of messages being like, wow, I can't believe he's comfortable with that. And I was like, wow, that's like a thing. But it turns out like men are very funny about that. Like as if, like, again, it makes them feel like they're inadequate.
Well, there's also, there's so many different ways to orgasm and there's so many different ways that people can orgasm. Like, girls, there's a lot of ways we can't, and then ways we can, and it's very different. And also, to the girl listening and girls listening who aren't her, this is not, like, insane. This is actually quite common.
Very normal.
And I'm proud that she's even done it alone, because that was a difficult task to do.
Yeah.
And I, in my stand-up, have a lot about all the things that need to be in perfect alignment for me to come. And
just in case anyone hasn't listened to Hannah before about this topic, her legs need to be straight.
Babe, my mom listens to this.
Are you kidding me? Are you actually kidding
me? Actually, lately I've been practicing trying to not be straight.
Really?
Last night I wasn't
with
straight.
With Ali Colbert?
Last night I wasn't straight.
So Hannah had a slight knee bend.
My New Year's resolution is my knee mobility while orgasming.
Yeah. Hannah had a slight knee bend last night. But anyway, most importantly.
I'm excited for this journey for her.
She needs. You've been very unlucky. I mean, I know that we said last week that we were going to try to find a hot air balloon situation for that woman, but I wish in a way we could find somebody for her, because it's insane how unlucky you've been.
I also have to say, I've known men who have trouble orgasming because it's mental, and it goes both ways. I just want to normalize it a little bit. And I do think sometimes people have like slumps, like they just kind of get in their head with it and they have a little trouble and then you get out of it. But also I think with the right partner and the right patience, and know that it is not a physical problem. It's not a problem. It's just like a mental thing that you're going to work on.
And, you know, if it turns out that that's just something that's never going to happen for you, that's okay too. It's very common, you know, and don't be afraid to Google that. There's a lot of stuff out there about your situation. You're very not alone.
And I do think there are a lot of girls that can only come with like a certain person that they really trust or they feel like they love, that kind of shit too.
But so. I just hope your bad luck streak ends. It's really unfortunate, the guys that you've been with. You need a very sexually open, sex positive guy.
Yeah.
So thank you for your contribution.
I love that. And you know what? Don't be hard on it. Try not to be hard on yourself.
Yeah. But hopefully
hopefully he's hard.
As you guys know, I love HelloFresh so much because it helped me trick Dez into thinking that I was a full-on Michelin star chef during COVID. I ordered it every day. And now that I'm back from touring, I want to cook more. I want to be healthy. I cannot deal with eating takeout late at night, coming home from my shows all the time. I want to be a normal human being that makes healthy food. And obviously, HelloFresh has my favorite recipes. They have a penne with beef and zucchini ragu, creamy garden herb chicken, and they have tons of tacos, which I love, and pork chops. I really like pork chops too. So they have something for my every mood. Everything is pre-measured, which I love because I'm not wasting anything. I hate buying stuff at the grocery store and never using it. It all goes bad. And this is way more financially savvy as well. So go to HelloFresh.com/burnfree and use code burnfree, BERNFREE, for free breakfast for life. Wait, that's amazing. One breakfast item per box while subscription is active. That's free breakfast for life at HelloFresh.com/burnfree with code burnfree. I'm obsessed with that because I love breakfast. It's my favorite meal. And it's America's number one meal kit for a reason. As you guys know, I think water is boring and I don't like to eat salads, but I do love a juice cleanse. This is my new favorite juice company and it's called Squeezed. I get in some bad habits, you know, late at night. I can be ordering takeout, coming back from a stand-up club, or feeling gross after traveling all the time. And that's why I love a Squeezed juice cleanse. It's so fresh, it's so good, and it also feels like I really am detoxing my body. Whenever I feel like I'm about to get sick, I really like to drink the one with pineapple, turmeric, and ghost pepper in it. It really just gets the sinuses going. I also don't love eating a lot of vegetables, but you can trick me. They have a drink with dandelion, watermelon, spinach, lemon, and apple that is so good. I also am dehydrated all the time, so a juice cleanse from Squeezed really helps me get some liquid into my body. It helps with bloat, clearer skin, increased energy, better sleep, and breaking some bad habits. And the best part is they have same-day local delivery or free fast delivery nationwide with code BERN. So check out squeezed.com for a juice cleanse delivered. It's so good.
Hi, Hannah. Hi, Des. My goal for 2024 is probably not so unique, but it's a goal anyways, and it's to stop trauma dumping on everybody that I know and everybody that I meet. You know, the guy on Hinge that I just started talking to probably doesn't need to know that my dad died a couple years ago within the first 5 days of us talking, nor do my coworkers probably need to know all of the family drama that's happening in my life right now. But I seem to just tell anybody who will listen everything traumatic that's happening in my life these days, and I don't think they really need to hear that. So my goal for 2024 is to try and possibly not talk so much. So we'll see if we can make that work. Love listening to you guys. Thanks.
Wonderful. This is the thing. She sounds like she's fun. She's the person at the party that everyone wants to talk to. Mm. She's very, you know, she's interesting. She always has the good gossip. She's bringing it, you know? And I relate. I think in the past I've been a trauma dumper where, like, I get nervous in small talk and I'm like, I'm going to give him something good in this conversation. Or I'm honest. I'm just an honest person. I tell everyone exactly what's going on in my head that day. I blurt out every single thought that comes into my head. And I do think I've recently realized that people can still like you if you don't tell them literally everything going on at all times. And you also can protect some things. And it doesn't mean that you're lying to people. You're just kind of waiting to give that information to, like, the right vessels.
Yeah, I mean, there's a time and a place. And I don't think you should 100% hold back on, you know, talking about the real things in life.
I also think trauma dumping is a new word that it's, like, kind of good because I realize, like, oh, shit, I do that to people. But also it's not always trauma dumping. I find that sometimes I love having one-on-one conversations. And if someone reveals something about themselves that's, like, vulnerable, I like to feel safe to be like, oh, like, I've experienced something like that too. And those are some of the most beautiful moments in life. So I do like... But I think trauma dumping is when it's like you can tell that you're kind of putting your negative energy onto them and, like, you're kind of sucking all the energy out of the room.
Yeah. So let's just go on the record and say she's actually not trauma dumping.
Yeah. I don't think she's trauma dumping.
She's not a trauma dumper. However, I do think that, like, maybe early on in the dating process, you could hold off on some of those issues on some people only because some people are more comfortable talking about their dead parents than others, you know?
Yeah.
And that, so, you know, maybe you can be a little safer with your conversation choices on a date, but I certainly don't think you're trauma dumping.
As someone who represents the president of the Dead Parent Club, you addressed it within the first, like, 3 minutes with me. So I like honesty and upfrontness, and it's like a guy can't handle real shit in the beginning. Like, it's probably... It's not a bad thing. You're just like, whatever.
Yeah, obviously you don't want to, like, you don't want to take over the conversation with, like, too much, like, conversations about trauma.
Yeah.
But I think trauma dumping is probably too strong a word for what's going on for you. Because at the end of the day, you're talking about family issues with your
friends.
That's
hilarious.
You're bringing the drama.
Yeah, but, like, I want to sit and worry about someone else's, like, aunt and uncle's marriage than like, my own boring shit.
Yeah, like, when I get together with my cousins, like, if I don't start talking about family shit within 10 minutes, they're like, what's going on?
Yeah, I do think that I am trying to get better at, if something's bothering me and I'm, like, out, I will talk to every single person about that same thing and get everyone's opinion. And, like, I think that's a little annoying. Because if they ever talk to each other, they'd be like, oh, yeah, Hannah talked about that with me too.
Oh, yeah, you got to be careful with that.
I become a little obsessive with it where I see someone new and I'm like, I have to tell them what's going on in my head right now. But it's a little, like, social anxiety type stuff.
Yeah.
But I do think with this girl, maybe every now and then you get out of a session, I call it, where you've said something vulnerable and afterwards you actually don't feel better. You almost feel, like, gross. And I think it's just navigating situations to know you don't have to be interesting, to be a fun time.
Good point.
And I'm trying this new thing. Actually, I'm not really trying it, but listening is an option.
Yeah.
I've never done it, but.
Yeah, you just, like, sort of save a piece of yourself, you know, because sometimes you can actually give away a little bit too much of yourself. It's not good for you.
Yeah, and I think with the right people, they are able to handle all that energy and they treat it with respect and they love it. But I've definitely tried to, you know, show myself to people and then you just don't feel appreciated, which is fine.
Yeah. We talked about that a lot in the early days of recovery, that, like, there's just some people that it's really not 100% safe to be overly vulnerable, and that's okay.
Yeah.
You know? And that's why she's probably right to maybe just be a touch more discerning with who she shares those more personal aspects of her life with.
But I do think it's true. Sometimes you get in your own head too much, and maturing is kind of really seeing, like, what is the vibe that this person wants, is in the mood for in this moment? And you don't have to force people to listen to, like, whatever's going on in your stressing head at that point. Because it makes socializing easier to get out of your own head and worry about other people's stuff.
Yes. But I also think that, you know, you never know where you're going to meet a guy, bring up your dead dad, and then they're going to be like, oh, I lost my father too. And you're going to bond over that
exactly.
And spend the rest of your lives together.
But I've definitely, like, trauma dumped before, and then afterwards just felt like, did I, like, ruin that person's night? Because you don't even feel better afterwards either. You just feel exposed.
Yeah, but then you've given them something to talk about. They're calling their friends straight away and be like, oh my God, you want Hannah Burnham, we're saying. So let's go to another one. And by the way,
you're not alone. I do it too.
Hey guys. So one of my New Year's resolutions a couple of years ago was to stop saying sorry just to say sorry. I'm only going to say sorry when I mean it. In theory, it was like an incredible idea. But I am way too much of a people pleaser to say that I achieved this in any way. I still absolutely say sorry when someone runs into me. And if something is not my fault, I will apologize. So maybe you should try this and see if you can achieve it better than I can. Love you guys.
This is like literally so me. Like someone will literally... like shove me in the subway and I'll be like, I'm so sorry. I've actually had embarrassing worse. I was walking by someone and they knocked something over and I said sorry, to the point that they looked at me like, are you fucking stupid? This goes back to what I was saying earlier. It's hard to go from being a people pleaser to suddenly not saying sorry all the time, because it's almost like too big of a shift.
But I can identify with the saying sorry when you don't need to say sorry. I find it way too easy to say sorry when I don't need to say sorry. It's actually saying sorry when I need to. That's the hard part. That's the bit that can be really difficult. So I'd say maybe some people need to focus on the, I need to say sorry when I actually owe an apology.
At the appropriate time.
Well, yeah, I mean, I can say sorry 2 days later, no problem. But in the heat of the moment, I find sorry very difficult.
I think if I was in corporate America, I would just lean in, because they always say women say sorry too much and the exclamation marks. I would end every email saying sorry, comma, Hannah Burner.
Oh, instead of sincerely yours?
Yeah, just say sorry.
That's a bit.
Oh, I love that. I love that. Like, just lean in so much that they're like, this is just a joke.
Yeah.
And if anyone gets mad, I'm like, I said sorry.
Yeah. I mean,
hey, can you make sure that you get that report to me by the end of the week? Sorry, comma, Hannah Burner. That's something
Hannah
I would say.
Yeah. I mean, I can feel bad when I, you know, you need to be like direct about needing something.
But it's funny. I hate when people say sorry to me for no reason. Like every now and then someone will be like, sorry, like I'll get this to you tomorrow. And I'll be like, no rush. Don't you dare apologize, when like I would have done the same thing.
Well, by the way, in Ireland, the overuse of sorry, like it's out of control.
Canada is apparently the worst. Sorry, sorry. It's crazy. They say sorry like how they say good morning. Sorry, good morning.
It's a great comedian, Emma Doran. Look her up, Irish comedian. And she has a great sketch. You'll find it on her Instagram about saying sorry in situations. I'm not going to do it justice, so just go check out Emma Doran on Instagram. It's a funny sketch. But that's a good resolution, I feel.
I do like that. So I think maybe starting subtle things like, yeah, less LOLs, less exclamation marks. And trying to say sorry. What's a word she can use instead of sorry that's like just softer and people take her more seriously in the room?
Well, if you don't need to say sorry, then there's no word.
It becomes this like gaping hole of space of awkwardness when you're. Someone said if you're late, don't say sorry, I'm late. Don't say sorry, I'm late. Say thank you for waiting.
Oh, interesting.
So you're like,
I have no problem for apologizing for being late. That's like a power move.
It's a power move. I think I read too many of these girl boss things. And then you put your hands together like a triangle and you say, thank you for waiting.
Say thank you for waiting. In other words, I'm worth the wait.
Thank you for being my little bitch.
Yeah. And people really get into that. Like Succession, great series. Like, they're always like, they love to exaggerate these like power moves.
I just love throwing around sorries because people are always going to be mad at you, and if you're just throwing around sorries all the time, it'll cover at least a couple people being like, well, at least she said sorry.
By the way, you know, I really think about these power moves. that like the people that feel the need to make these power moves, I actually consider it like, it, to me, it shows weakness because it's like, why would you care?
Sometimes I feel like the most powerful people are the ones who are like so nice and they're not trying to show their dominance over you. Those are the people that are really like, it's like Adam Sandler being so rich and wearing gym pants and like a button up because he doesn't care.
He
like,
doesn't care.
That's wealth and success right there.
Yeah, it's very it's interesting the power moves.
I just feel like be earnest and don't stress too much.
That would be I think that'll be a good episode for 2024. What's your
power move?
What's your power move? Coming in 2024 on Burnerphone. Power moves.
There definitely are TikTok algorithms will be like, what's your hack to like make people fall in love with you? Or like, they love those articles. Like, what's your hack to make sure that you get respect in the room?
Yeah, dating game
I'm
stuff.
I'm writing down power moves so we don't forget.
All right. Well, let's go with another.
Hi, Hannah. Hi, Des. Sorry, I'm a little bit sick, but my New Year's resolution is to have my husband eat me out more. He likes doing it. It's not like a problem or something. I just get really shy and like nervous about him doing it. And then like, I know it's going to take a while. And I start getting in my head being like, oh, I'm taking too long, even though like he doesn't care. But like my New Year's resolution is literally just to let him eat me out more. And yeah. I love you guys.
Yeah, so she threw an apology down right after the apology episode.
She basically said, sorry, I need to let my husband eat me out more. I would argue, look, do it. But, like, if that's not your thing, you don't have to. If he's obsessed with it and he loves it, then, like, yeah. But, like, you, there's so many fucking things to do in bed.
No, but I mean, I think if she wants a desire to get more comfortable with it, she I think she's basically saying, like, I need to just, like, let go on that a little bit more.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that's good.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, it's not like she's trying to put herself into like extremely uncomfortable situations.
But a lot of girls have trouble coming when men are going down on them. And sometimes I guess it is mental, but sometimes it's like, okay, do you want to like fight this mental barrier for a year or just like do what you normally do?
Yeah, well, I think it's worth a shot. That's what I would say. I think she's expressed, a desire to like let it happen more. So I think it's definitely worth a shot.
It definitely could connect you
more.
I
mean, at the end of the day, if she comes out the other side and gets more comfortable with it, the upside is pretty high. Like in terms of like that's a positive for her.
Yeah, I do think it bonds people. It's a bonding experience.
Like, but there are a lot of women that like really enjoy men going down on them. And perhaps she wants to just try to break through areas of discomfort to see if she can get that upside.
Yeah. I do think though, sometimes girls are like, oh, I love getting eaten out. And some people do, but sometimes people are like, oh, I want what they have when people like different things.
Yeah.
It's like some girls like love riding guys. Like that's their thing. Like I love to ride them. And some girls are like, I'd rather not. It doesn't mean you have to start trying to ride him.
Yeah, I agree. But I do think that the vibe I'm getting from her is that
she wants to overcome something.
She wants to overcome like just like some hangups, you know? And if the hangups don't disappear and she remains uncomfortable, then let it go. But I think she would like those hangups to disappear.
Let him go down on you and then say sorry.
Yeah, and then be like, sorry, I'm just not into it. Sorry.
Sorry.
And also, it's not your tone, it's not your technique.
Could be like you guys working together to find out maybe what make it better for you. Because like there's so many things he could do down there to make it a very different experience. Like I feel like different things people do when they're going down on you makes it a completely different experience. You could do so many different things. So it's like try them all out.
Yeah. Communicate while he's down there. He won't be able to respond, but you can do all the talking. he might be tongue-tied.
Wait, I have a question.
Okay.
When you're going down on someone.
On someone? I know we're married.
As a man, and you're going down on someone, do you like the girl to do anything with her hand? Like, do you like if she touches your head? Or, like, do you like if she, like, holds your hand? Like, what is... Sometimes I feel
holding
like
as my
a girl,
hand, no.
You're like, what are you supposed to do? Because girls, honestly, there's so much...
Like, give me a high five. Give me a high five.
Do you want to, like, touch your back? Like...
No, I just... I want you to do whatever's natural to you in that situation.
What's natural to me is be like, if he does look up, do I have a double chin?
Well, yeah, I have a routine, which is going to be on my special coming out in 2.5 weeks about going down. But
That's the first time you've announced it, babe.
Oh, have I? I do make the joke about that you shouldn't look up, because then she'll look down and she'll be worried about you, and you don't want her worried about you. You want her upstairs thinking about Zac Efron. So you want her, you know, not getting distracted from whatever she was, you know, imagining to help her come.
Talk about a jawline.
Yeah, well, he's altered it. But
he says it was he tripped down something.
Yeah. But anyway, not to digress. I think that you should do whatever's natural to you, mm-hmm. In terms of but obviously it's good to be vocal in some way to let somebody know that they're enjoying it, cuz mm-hmm. it can be a lonely place when you're down there doing all your stuff and you're just like, I have no idea if she's into this. And because you can't see them, you start like obsessing about like them being up there, being like, what the fuck is going on down there?
You finally are like, I'm going to look up, and she's texting.
Yeah. She, you know, she's Googling. She's Googling how to get my husband to go down on me better.
And it's hard because with girls, like, some girls have, but a lot of straight girls that are strictly straight have never gone down on a girl. So, like, we have no idea what to do. Like, fingering, we're like, this is what you do. But the tongue, yeah. You don't know. So it's...
it's trial and error.
It could be blindly the blind.
Yeah. Anyway, give it a shot. Give us a report. Let us know.
Yeah, after, you guys, we need some updates, too.
Let us know after 3 months if you found yourself more comfortable.
I think we should do an update episode where we just go submit all the updates of ones that you've... ask this about and how
yes,
it's going.
Yes, I agree. In fact, I would think that would be a good episode for next week. Updates. Mm-hmm. So people that have been featured on the show, give us an update on a situation that would be great to let us know how it went.
Look at us. You guys are seeing the process.
The process is happening right here. My New Year's resolution is to be more public about my processes.
Your process.
Please, Chris, we'll take another.
Processes.
Hi, Hannah and Des. This is Keegan. Really big fan of both of you.
Cute
and
name.
Hannah, my husband and I have front row tickets to see you in Charlestown in March. So we'll see you soon, girlie.
West Virginia. I've never been.
My New Year's resolution is actually the same one I have last year. So it's kind of cheating. But once a month, we have decided to do no phone days. And my husband and I were trying to think, when was the last time we felt truly alive and happy? And we realized it was when we didn't have these little computers in our pockets. So once every month, we set aside one full day to not make any plans and to not look at our cell phones. It is very nice and cleansing for the soul, but it's all fun and games until you're in the grocery store and you have a paper list and no way to Amazon price match anything. Overall, though, highly recommend. I hope you guys try it out. Love you. Bye.
Besides me getting lost everywhere I go, I do agree with her. I watch a lot of documentaries, obviously, and whenever it's like the 90s, and they're just like showing New York, I'm like, oh my God, no one's looking at their phone. That's fucking crazy.
Yeah.
And you forgot that was
not
very
that
recent,
long ago.
Very recent. I will definitely on vacation, which I rarely do, but when I do, I'll just leave the phone in the hotel room because I have nowhere to be. We're just like walking around the resort. I definitely will have times that I'm like, leave my phone in my bedroom, but like, I'm watching TV. What's your opinion on this? As someone who lived a lot of their life without a cell phone.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's obviously very healthy to do this, you know? Mm-hmm. People should do it more. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't have a lot to say on it other than, yeah, great idea.
Yeah.
You know? And like, there's certain things that just naturally happen more when you don't have your phone. You have better conversation. Mm-hmm. You take in life more.
I always get excited when I'm like out working or something and I haven't been on my phone in like 4 hours and I come home, then I'm like, oh, my phone's gonna have so much stuff in it because I haven't been on it.
Well, you know, I have a routine in the special that's coming out about like life before phones, you know, like, you know, when you waited for somebody, you waited, you know, mm-hmm. and like, so people always say, I'm gonna not have my phone when I'm with somebody, right? So a lot of times when people say we're leaving our phones so we can talk to each other more, but actually another good exercise is to not have your phone when you're on your own. Because actually, you get more comfortable being on your own. I think people in general are less comfortable being on their own now.
The problem
is because they think they're more comfortable, but they're not on their own. They're on their phone.
You're right. And you aren't actually happier on the phone. It's just distracting. But other things can arise that have bad energy. My problem is I've gaslit myself to saying, I guess, like, but I've lied to myself saying that, like, I'm researching. Like, this is my job. My job is posting on social media, creating content, researching pop culture. So I'm like, good job. You just did work for 3 hours.
Yeah, but you never, but that's the thing is that you're never off.
Yeah.
You know, and that's the issue.
And a healthy work-life balance is important.
Yes. And if you're gaslighting yourself to say it's your job, then you're in denial about how little time you take off.
But if you love your job, it's never work.
I understand, but if you love yourself, you have to give yourself time.
I need to get off my phone because at the end of the day, you're not missing anything. No one's having that much fun.
Yeah, I mean, I think it would be, it's just healthy in general for people. And by the way, I'm guilty of it myself. You know, I used to spend a lot more time with myself. That was healthy. You know, that used to be like a big thing. Early recovery, it was always like, be with yourself, meditate, just be with your feelings. And now you have to make a much more conscious decision to do that.
Should we start meditating together?
No, we just meditate. We don't have to do it together.
Can we do that thing?
It's not really like, it's not an activity that requires doing it with somebody else.
No, I want to do that Instagram couple thing where you sit like
crisscross applesauce.
Crisscross applesauce. And then I sit on your legs facing you.
Okay, Bennett.
Crisscross applesauce.
Okay, Bennett from the pandemic season of The Bachelor.
And then our noses touch and we keep our eyes open. And then we breathe in synchronicity and become one soul, taking on the world together.
What was that poor woman that got eaten alive on the internet? Was it a love explosion or something?
Oh, yeah, the love surge.
The love surge. Do you want to have a love surge meditation?
So anyway, I'll keep you guys posted on how our meditation couples work goes, our breath work together.
But anyway, great advice, you know? I don't think we need to add anything else to it.
Hi, Hannah. So the first thing is the New Year's resolution. To just stop talking to men. That's my New Year's resolution. Everybody, I'm 23 and everybody wants to have sex, but nobody wants to date. So I will be in my house until further notice. So if my husband seems to find me there, that would be awesome. But yeah, up until then, I've made my New Year's resolution to stop swiping and to stop talking to men. Like, if a man is to approach me, I'm going to act deaf. Like, we don't.
Wait, Chris loves her.
No, we're not doing this, sir.
Chris found his soulmate.
You can kindly fuck yourself. Anywho, happy New Year's. Please come back to Maine. We love you.
Oh, I love Maine.
And yeah, keep giggling, ho. Hee
hee. Oh my God, I love her. Chris.
Killed it.
She was
Chris,
cool.
It's a pity. Yeah. Yeah, but the problem is that you're going.
You got to break into someone's house.
Yeah, you're going against her wish. She doesn't want to talk to you, Chris.
This is the problem, though. Like, when you're 23, you want to date, but you also like, you're not dating to marry, and then guys are still learning like how to fuck.
Yeah, you're just dealing
with it. It's a mess. So it honestly is just chaos, and I think it's more like learning who you are, what you want, and if that is alone, like, bless up.
Yeah. I mean, good for her. Give it a try.
I think...
We got a few boy sober...
Yeah.
We got a few boy sober ones.
I do think in my early 20s, I definitely was boy obsessed where, like, I would let stuff ruin my day or I would, like, not be present with my friends because I'm, like, texting someone or like planning something. And I think if I like embraced more like, okay, what are my hobbies? What did the decentering process, really enjoying the girl time, like it really does make you a more interesting person than just like seeking where's the next male attention coming from to validate my ego.
Yeah. And the problem is she's probably getting these like LL Bean main guys coming at her.
Oh,
so
God.
It's, you know, maybe she needs to do a little travel. Maybe she should take a break from talking to men. And then when she gets back to talking to men, she should travel to somewhere.
I do think dating for men and women in general, dating breaks are healthy, especially after getting out of a relationship or getting out of like a weird situationship. It's nice to just, I remember having a New Year's resolution of being like, let's not be talking to someone. Because I always was talking to someone. I always liked that dopamine hit of, even if they sucked, I would make it in my head like, this one is a fun one. But I like distracting myself with a crush. But I think it's fun. Crushes are fun. But at some point, it gets delusional when, like, he's in jail.
Have you had any jail pen pals, Hannah?
Not yet.
All right, let's go for another one. Let's get through a few before we finish.
Hi, Hannah and Des. Much love all the way from Texas. I just wanted to call in and say my New Year's resolution is to keep positive people around me, people who have good energy, people who uplift you and support you, and to maybe recognize people who aren't in that same headspace and know that that's okay to slowly but politely kind of like distance yourself or cut them off or do what's healthy for you. Whether it be a coworker or a family member or a friend who just kind of has that little gray cloud around them all the time, You cannot change the gray cloud and make it go away and make it happy and sunny. So just be positive and supportive for those who are positive and supportive for you, and let the world do good things for you. Love you guys.
She's in a convertible.
Oh, and there's also a delay on the F train.
No, she's in a convertible. It was like blinking.
Oh, I heard the car.
I'm just
yeah.
kidding. But I am very interested in this. I learned recently from a TikTok that cutting all the toxic people out of your life is great, and obviously, and there's, as you get older, you will have fewer friends for that reason, because you actually like care to protect your space. But that true healing is not avoiding all toxic situations, but being able to like sometimes be surrounded by toxic situations and not letting it affect you and not letting it like become you. So it's like those three steps is like cut the toxic people out, do that work on yourself, and then you won't be as triggered in the future if you happen to be put in a situation, because you can't avoid it forever.
Mm. But I think it's good advice to try to be around positive people more.
I definitely think in your 20s, and especially with like followers and like likes, there's this concept of like the more friends you have, the better you're doing in life, the more likable of a person you are. And I definitely wanted that. Like, oh, I want everyone to be my friend. And then when I realized that that doesn't matter, and you just like having a couple of good friends is like fine, like life got easier.
Yeah, you can shrink your circle.
A small circle. Is nice.
Yeah, you need to up the positivity. Like if you find that everybody you follow on Instagram and everywhere else says snark at the end of it, then you should probably need to up the positivity
in
your life.
There were a lot of things on Instagram saying like stop following gossip blogs. I think it became trendy and a lot of girls, it's fun to be in other people's drama, but yeah. I think they're starting to realize that it starts affecting their thought process, yes. and everything becomes negative. Because the truth is, the couple people around you and the content you consume are all the voices in your head. And sometimes your brain gets confused which voice is which, and you could confuse yourself. But also, that creates your experience of the world is the content and the conversations around you. So, like, your life can change drastically by changing the content that you consume and the conversations you're having. That's why I like to, someone said, like, surround yourself with five people who like are aspirational in a way, like you look up to them in a way, and try to surround yourself with people who are smarter than you.
Interesting.
And that's what I try to do. I know we're thinking about Paige right now. She's quite smart when it comes to putting together outfits.
I wasn't thinking.
And she's very smart in a lot of things. Writing, reading, not her strong suit. Everything else, honestly, incredible.
Let's go. How many more do we have, Chris?
There's three more unnumbered.
Hey, Hannah and Des. So my 2024 New Year's resolution is to smile more. So I have really bad resting bitch face. Hannah, I'm also born and raised in Brooklyn, currently in New York, and I just can't stop giving people dirty looks. I'm not mean to. But maybe I should stop looking at people really meanly at the bar if I want guys to come up to me. Have a really bad resting bitch face, and while sometimes it's my favorite thing about myself, I think smiling might get me further in life. So yeah, love you guys, happy new year.
Okay, can I talk on this? First of all, shout out, where Brooklyn at? I definitely have to put on a stank face, I call it, which like when I'm walking past like construction workers or just like men, I just put on a face that looks like something smells bad. I'll do it on the subway. And that's just like protecting yourself. I have a resting kind face. So people come up with to me for directions. They just want to tell me all their problems. Like, so that brings another issue. I wish I had more resting bitch face in like a normal scenario. But I do think, I saw this thing on TikTok in the New York Times, that men never get called resting bitch face.
Really? Because I feel like Aiden talks about his resting bitch face all the time.
I never heard him.
Oh, really? Yeah.
The people say he has resting bitch face?
I definitely have resting bitch face.
You do, but you're a Scorpio.
No, but people are always like, what's the matter? I'm like, what do you mean, what's the matter?
Well, you, because you get like
they're
in
like,
your
you look
own...
like you look like you're going to kill somebody. I'm like, oh, no, sorry. I was just thinking about
but
something.
But you're expressive with your thoughts. I'm like that with text. Like, I'll be texting someone making all these faces. But yeah, you'll get into a like imaginary fight in your head of like something that happened in 1972. And you'll like...
But that is something that I've noticed with the video clips is like I become more aware of like, oh yeah, you need to look a little happier when you're delivering that joke.
Yeah. I'm an easy laugher, an easy smiler. And I do think overall it helps soften a lot of social interactions. 100%. And it's fun. I enjoy it.
So this is a good resolution.
Yeah. I think with her, like if you consciously are trying to laugh more, it's healthy for you. And I think it's okay to have a resting bitch face, but don't be afraid to throw in some smiles. But now I feel like, what's the next one?
Yeah, I think this one's going to be up, Hannah's out. Here we go.
My New Year's resolution is to stop being so damn nice. I am way too nice to everyone, even when they don't deserve it. And this is the year that I do what I want, and I get what I want because I deserve it. And I'm still a nice person, but I don't need to let people step all over me, so... That's my resolution, is to stop being so nice.
There you go. You see?
Definitely don't let people step all over you, but I find like the biggest power, superpower, is being nice. And sometimes in your head, you'll be like, can't wait to like one day like stand up to them or say something or be like, fuck you. But then when you actually are just continue being nice, it's like the sweetest thing ever.
Yeah, but I think it's not a bit. If you feel like people are taking advantage of you, I feel like it's okay to get into, you know, being a little stronger.
Honestly, sometimes people like you more when you stand up to them, which I don't know if that's like healthy, if they're the kind of people you want to surround yourself with. But I've definitely been in situations where like I finally stood up to someone and then they treated me differently.
I like the way these last two are like as if people are like changing the frequency on the sound systems. Like, hey, just can I add a little bitch on this? No, I need to take. Can I just take a little bitch off of that?
They're face tuning their personality.
Yeah, yeah. They're going into the bitch section a little less. A little more. By the way, I say bitch in a fun way. I don't believe in the misogynistic use of the word bitch. No. We're talking about sort of resting bitch face here.
Yes, yes.
Just in case anybody gets jammed up. And obviously, a classic New Year's resolution coming up to take us home.
Hi, Hannah and Dez. My New Year's resolution is to stop picking my nose. I do it as a comfort thing, I guess, or like an anxiety thing. Like I pick my nose every day as soon as I get into my car, no matter what time of day it is. I pick my nose when I get out of the shower. I pick it when I wake up. And I just feel like that's a bad habit that as a fully grown adult, I should probably stop, because I'm sure it makes me look childish to anybody that's driving around me while I'm picking my nose. Anyway, Happy New Year.
Look, I mean, listen, I'm a big nose picker.
There's nothing better. There's nothing better. A crusty one, when you peel the crusty one and it comes out like long and you're like, that was in my fucking nose. And you roll it up in your finger and you toss it and flick it.
Listen, as far as my nose goes, my nose has huge pick-me energy. My nose has big pick-me energy and I don't want my nose to change.
My dad would always go, pick me a winner whenever I was, I don't know, that was like a
look, come on, are you kidding
thing.
Me?
Pick
who,
your fucking
who doesn't
nose.
Love... Like also, when you get in there and it's like obviously like a huge surface area of your nose covered in hardened snot and the way it feels when it comes off.
This
I mean,
is the thing.
This is like one of the great satisfactions of life.
We've just heard about so many women having trouble enjoying orgasms. Give yourself some pleasure
Jesus
in this life as
Christ.
A woman and orgasm through your nose. There's nothing better. The release.
And I like a bit of earwax out of my ear too.
Oh yeah, you love.
Oh my God.
You love a little ear scratch.
Chris, how do you feel about a nose pick?
Oh, and when she said the in traffic thing, I was like, this is my me time. I'm never going to see these people again. Fuck them.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know what's funny? It's funny. Sometimes I'll see somebody picking their nose and then they'll see me looking and they'll like drop their hand. I want to be like, hey, roll down your window. Pick away, bro. We all pick.
What's funny is I will pick my nose, and if someone looks, I just say, sorry, I got something in my nose. I'm getting it out.
We all pick our nose, man. I don't understand.
My problem is sometimes I'll get too, like, adventurous, and then, like, there'll be, like, a booger just, like, stuck on the top of my nose because I was, like, having way too much fun.
Yeah, I love a hard-to-reach booger. To me, you know, that's like a dog game, you know? I love a hard-to-reach booger. And you know it's there. You ever lose one? Like, it just gets too far up your nose? You know, it just gets too far. That motherfucker got away from me.
It's like the game Operation.
Yeah.
My mom is very into nasal rinses. She says it's really helped her over the winter. And I got to say, that shit feels good.
Yeah, you're a good nasal rinser.
A little sinus
You're actually, to be honest, you're disappointingly comfortable with a nasal rinse. You recently nasal rinsed and you didn't do any of the like, you didn't make any of the drama that's normally associated with a nasal rinse.
Yeah, because I'm not a little bitch.
Yeah, but this is the problem, man. You need to up the drama on a nasal rinse.
This is the thing. Life is full of a couple beautiful little moments, and picking out a hard booger is one of them, and I say, go off, sis.
Yeah, that's actually, I'm going to Arizona and Las Vegas in the new year, and one of the great things about being in a dry climate is you get awesome nose picks, man.
Do you know what I fucking hate? When I'm like, I'm not going to pick my nose, I'm going to blow it, and I blow it, and it's like, and people are like, excuse you. I'm like, what did you want me to do? Just keep it in my nose.
But they
like
nose,
people get
nose
mad
blow shame?
When I blow my nose like too aggressively or intense, or it's a lot. Like, whoa, that was a lot. It's like, sorry.
Yeah, listen.
I am actually. I don't talk about it a lot, but I snot rocket.
What you snot rocket?
You know what snot rocket is?
What, you like cover one nostril and just blow it out?
Yeah, because during tennis, when you're playing, if that happens, you don't have tissues. So you just go to the back of the court. Oh, I just did it.
Yeah, Hannah just snot rocketed all over the mic.
But every now and then you can mess up the snot rocket and it like gets on your shirt.
You
gets
can
on
book
your
Melrose
shoe.
Podcast Studio for your podcast. Clean microphones here.
Well, thank you guys so much for listening to us this year. Long episode, but worth it. So much fun. We're definitely in a groove with the little dialers. And keep an eye out Mondays on our Instagram for the next prompt. And we can't wait for you to call in.
Oh, yeah. We'll have time to do together next week. Then we have a few weeks where we're apart. Come see me in Chicago on New Year's Eve. Tickets left. And then Tempe, Arizona, January 4th to 6th. Yeah. Or if you're in Las Vegas, I'll be there the week after.
And I'll give you guys a quick show update. I have a couple tickets left in Charlotte, Raleigh. I have tickets in Reno. Aspen, we're there January 31st.
We're there together.
Des and I will be on the show together.
It's a ski trip.
We added another show at the Paramount in Denver, February 3rd.
Oh, nice. We're doing two there?
Yeah, we're doing two.
Ooh.
And then we have limited tickets left in Huntington, but I'm going to be in Atlantic City, Ridgefield, Connecticut, Saginaw, Michigan, Gary, Indiana. I added a second show in Cincinnati, Pittsburgh, Charlestown, West Virginia, Montclair, San Jose, Rochester.
Hannah took her phone out for this one. Normally she can't remember. And now she's scrolling.
I got a lot of shows, and I hope to see all of you guys there.
HannahBurner.com/shows.
Love you guys.
Thank you. Bye.
Call you later. Bye.